You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday. We're back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire. And as promised, we have the man back himself. That's Anthony Treisch, main dude over there covering college football for PFF, Pro Football Focus, whichever you want to call it. Thanks for coming on, Anthony. Really appreciate it, as always.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Before we get into the nitty gritty of it all, I had a podcast listener that wanted me to ask you, when it comes to your grading, how much, if any, are your grades weighted for the competition that is being faced?
Yeah, that's a good question. Not at all. And in college football in particular, that's what I really stress. Because if you look, you'll see it like the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season. You'll just see some of these teams that play far lesser competition. Their grades are going to be a little inflated. And sometimes you're going to have these guys that perform really, really well against these, you know, lesser teams. But then once they face kind of the in-conference guys, it's, you know, comes back to reality a bit. So that's something to always take note of. None of our grades, our strength opponent, none of our data are strength opponent other than our power rankings, which are not necessarily the grades, but the PFF ELO ranking, which is a tab on pff.com. But as far as grading goes, any other data point, none of it's, you know, strength of opponent related. So that's definitely something to always keep in mind. And I'm sure hearing about, you know, I'd say after these next two games, Michigan's going to have a lot of those guys. And a lot of those guys are probably going to continue that success, but maybe a couple of them come back down to earth a little bit just because, you know, they are playing lesser competition. But it's a very good question. And I think it's something that a lot of people just kind of assume is in there, but it's not.
Well, that's obviously why they want to know, like you just said, is because you have Michigan, I think it was 2 or 3, I can't remember, defensively in the country. That's not what people expected, even though I've been telling them to expect it. Granted, that might come down a bit. Like you said, when they play some tougher offenses, they've got a challenge in week 4 against Maryland that certainly could affect that. But nonetheless, what did you see from this Michigan defense in particular? Were you surprised when you saw the stat line, 7 sacks, 11 tackles for loss, a bunch of different guys getting involved, people who weren't on the roster last year, like Yabi Anoma, or a guy that was a wide receiver a year ago and Mike Saden was still, they were the sack leaders for a minute. I mean, still technically they are, but they were the only two with sacks for Michigan for a minute. But how did you evaluate what you saw from Michigan on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm not too surprised just knowing what I know about Colorado State. I knew like their offensive line is among one of the worst in college football. So I expected Michigan to kind of have a lot of success there. I guess what kind of was surprising were just some of the names, like you said, that, you know, were very, very productive. Like Yabi Anoma, just the production that he had on that small sample. I mean, that's just impressive in its own right. Jalen Harrell, he was a name that's like, okay, I saw the data and I was like, I need to focus on him. I saw him pop up on the screen, but I was like, I need to focus on him. Went back and watched. Just like, yep, he's going to be something good for Michigan in the long run. So overall, just not too surprised. Definitely just gave me more names to kind of circle and keep track of and monitor over the next few weeks to see if they can sustain that level of play there. So I would say overall, like I mentioned at the top, you don't want to like get too carried away and overreact to these early games against far lesser competition. But I thought Michigan was going to handle business, and they handled business and then some. Showed me a little bit more, I would say. And I would say, I think I don't want to say that my opinion's changed on them too much, but maybe a little bit better than I initially thought. I already thought that they were going to be pretty good. I mean, I had them in my preseason college football playoff prediction. So I think, you know, all signs are pointing up. And for those people that think that, you know, this Michigan defense is going to take a significant step back, maybe it doesn't. You know, I don't know if it's going to be what it was last year. Again, we talked about ad nauseum how that was kind of a historic group just with that pass rush, but it still is looking like a pretty sharp group there. So, you know, they definitely caught my attention for sure.
Well, according to my math, after 7 sacks, 11 for tackles for loss. I have Michigan slated to have 257 sacks by the end of the year. I think that that's right. Cause I think they'll just get a little bit better every single game. No, okay. That's really bad math. But speaking of changing your opinion, did your opinion change at all? Having seen a now bulked up, I believe he's like 30 pounds heavier, Mike Morris. He seemed like he was involved in pretty much every big play, even though he didn't have the numbers per se. What was your opinion of what you saw of him? Is it the same? Was it like, well, okay, maybe he does take that step forward, or what was your takeaway from him in particular?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you could probably say just about every single player from Michigan's front seven, you could say they showed something. But I'd say with Mike Morris in particular, you know, just considering what we have seen from him, you know, I still want to see a little bit more. You know, like I mentioned, Anoma, I mentioned Jalen Harrell. Those are the two guys that really kind of piqued my attention up front. So we'll see if he can kind of do something over the next few games. You know, like I said, everybody on that Michigan front seven had a day against Colorado State. So still need to see a little bit more. But, you know, the fact that he wasn't the outlier that's like, well, he didn't really do anything, is all positive going forward.
Well, obviously they've got a tough test defensively against a powerhouse Hawaii team coming to town on Saturday. I expect all those numbers to go up. I think it would be probably a pretty big step backwards if that wasn't the case. Let's move over to the offense. And we'll talk about the quarterbacks here in a moment, but it seemed like Michigan's offense was kind of very ho-hum, as I've kind of put it, somewhat out of sorts, not really anything to really write home about. But what did you see on that front? Obviously, good showings from the running backs, not explosive per se, but extant, I guess. But what were your takeaways when it came to the offense?
Yeah, sorry if you hear my dog bark in the background. She's in demon mode or puppy mode. But, you know, the Michigan offense is just the sheer amount of playmakers. It's just unreal. I was texting with our head of PR here, Director of Communications, David Safaro, about it, just listing off all the names, all the playmakers. And I leave like two off, and it's like they have like 10 guys that would be a star on a lot of college football programs. So, I mean, there's just so many skill position weapons there. And honestly, like the quarterbacks, it's still – like, I would be surprised if this isn't JJ's job sooner rather than later.
All right, hold on. We're going to get to the quarterbacks because okay. I want to definitely segment that one off right. to its own thing.
We'll wait for that. But it just, I'm starting to think that there may not be a deeper skill position group in all of college football. And again, this isn't totally taken away from the Colorado State game. And when we knew how good this group was going to be, you know, heading into this season, it was arguably in the conversation, but now it's like, they could end up being that. I'm not going to be surprised if they are. There's just so much talent there. Right. And, you know, they're not going to be able to utilize all of it. But that's a good thing for Michigan.
Yeah. And I think that, the fact that this offense had what was seen as being kind of a mediocre output and still managed 44 points, it was, you know, I think that in and of itself was impressive. But let's continue on with here in just a moment. I'm glad that my dog isn't down here because she would be going nuts. I didn't hear your dog until just now, but she would be going nuts if she heard your dog because that's what she does. But let's continue on in just a moment and talk about the quarterbacks because that's, I think, what everybody wants to know about here. But before we do move on, as you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find people you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to help spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and to hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? So post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, Anthony, we've got you here for one more segment. Probably won't go super long here with you, but like I wanted to discuss the quarterback situation. I went into this season thinking, personally, it's going to be Cade. I had heard, just talking to people who have seen fall practice, and then you have the Big Ten Network stuff that was coming out saying that Cade was going to be the guy. Cade comes out and looks the way he does against Colorado State with the level of competition and all of that. Give me your evaluation of what you saw. I don't think his receivers helped him out a ton, but I still thought it was basically, as I've been saying, a catastrophic start for him given the situation he's currently in.
Oh, for sure. And of course, like the pick, it was the receiver fell, but it was still a really bad throw. You were expecting to come out there and light it up against a team like Colorado State. We just didn't really see that. And then you saw JJ McCarthy come in and you're like, this offense is unstoppable. And I think that's just kind of everything that I've been saying. It's just, it's hard to get to the level Michigan needs to be with, someone like Cade McNamara. And Cade McNamara is great. Like, he's a good college quarterback. Don't get me wrong. But, if a team wants to win 9 or 10 games, then he's your guy. But if you want to compete for a national title, I mean, JJ McCarthy is that difference maker that will get you over the hump there. This weekend we're going to see JJ McCarthy, light it up. It's going to be, if Michigan really wants to, they could probably put triple digits on the board. They probably won't, but that's the talent discrepancy that we're going to see. And I fully expect JJ McCarthy to have himself a very big day. Just given what we've seen from him, no starts, but we've seen plenty of action. It's just, he definitely has the makings to be a superstar at the collegiate level. I mean, really just the game of football in general. And I thought we saw the flashes last week. I mean, just a dynamic athlete, with the way he can stress a defense with his legs and his arm. It's something that a lot of teams wish they had. So I really do think that eventually it's going to be his. I mean, I figured it would be Cade to start the year just out of respect, given what he did for him last year. And, he is the leader of that program. But, all that aside, leadership can only get you so far, and what you do on the field is what's going to matter most. And it's quite clear that, JJ's the far better option at the position. So I'll be curious to see how it's kind of handled moving forward. I think Jim Harbaugh is probably, some people are like, oh, I hate to make that decision and have to do that. But, he's probably ecstatic because, he's got one of the best quarterback rooms in all of college football. He probably feels, because if one goes down, he's got someone to lean on. But, I think it's going to be interesting to see how he handles the whole situation. Because like I said, it would be extremely hard to keep JJ, not have him start another game the rest of this year, just given what we've seen from him.
Well, you look at, this is what I talked about in my article. You look at Clemson, Kelly Bryant, Trevor Lawrence. They gave Kelly Bryant the start after he brought them to the college football playoff. And Trevor Lawrence ends up being the starter by game 5. Jalen Hurts got Alabama to national championship game, I believe twice. And then he ends up splitting time with Tua before Tua ends up being the guy. This is just kind of what college football is. And especially, my eyes were open when I did my weekly ranking the Big Ten quarterbacks by Pro Football Focus grade. And while I removed a couple names because they also had very few pass attempts, and maybe I could have removed him because he wasn't in the game for that long, but I kept him up top because it was noteworthy. You had JJ McCarthy as the number one quarterback in the conference based off of his grade in week 1. So what did you see from him that made you feel that he deserved that? I believe it was like a 91.1 grade.
Yeah. I mean, everything that we've talked about, even leading up to this game, I mean, he showed everything. I think he is the complete package. Like I said, he has the athleticism. I'll just never forget seeing that the Blake Corum play in the Big Ten championship game where he's outrunning him. I mean, you saw the speed. Jim Harbaugh talks about how he's a 4 or 5 guy. You know, the accuracy and decision-making, just what he can do on the move. You know, a lot of quarterbacks that are kind of in his position, you know, they kind of struggle with the whole processing aspect of it and making the correct decision. But we haven't seen that from JJ. I mean, he's looked sharp out there, right? I mean, you'd think that he's done this more than, you know, just a few snaps here and there. You'd think he's started for a couple of years with the way he kind of, you know, manages the field there. I really do think that he is. It's hard to find a con with him at this moment in time. You know, maybe something will pop up as he, you know, takes on a larger role. Again, we're just looking at a few, you know, handful of snaps per game. But, you know, I really do think that he's got everything that you could possibly want in a quarterback at the collegiate level.
All right. Well, one more question for you here, and we got to completely switch gears here because we talked a bit about Ohio State last week and they played a game as well. I would say that I was somewhat surprised at how that game went. Some are absolutely praising Ohio State for the game against Notre Dame, just saying this just shows that they are a national caliber type team, national championship caliber type team. Some are going the other way and saying they aren't who we thought they were. What was your take watching Ohio State and Notre Dame in week one at night?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I think if you showed me that the Ohio State offensive stats before the game and saying this is what it's going to be, I'd be like, Notre Dame's probably going to win this game. You know, they were close, but they didn't end up doing it. But, you know, I do think that it did show, while it is week one, teams change a lot from week one to the end of the year. It showed that Ohio State's definitely beatable. I think that defense, you know, they definitely, I know I've seen some people say this could be one of the best defenses in college football now. And we still need to see a lot more because Notre Dame's game plan wasn't necessarily to, you know, try to beat Ohio State offensively. It was just to slow the game down, you know, limit possessions and have their defense go out there and keep it close. And hopefully they can win the game. That's kind of the strategy there. And, you know, they did the part, but, you know, I do think that Ohio State, I'm not going to say they have, you know, all the vulnerabilities, you know, anything less than, I still think they're one of the best teams in college football, but, you know, I do think that they are more beatable than some people think. And, you know, I mentioned too, like, I think I mentioned it last week, if not, it was off air, but, you know, I always thought Michigan and Ohio State were a lot closer than kind of people in the preseason were saying. And I think this game kind of showed that.
Yeah, you did say that, I think, on air. We definitely talked about that off air, though, as well. And that's my takeaway. And I found it, and I know better. And I do this every almost every week. On Sunday, at some point, I find myself listening to SiriusXM, listening to Barrett Salee and Tom Luganville. I enjoy them a great deal, but they overreact so hard to everything. Like, I know that's the point of the show, right? It's the day after. Let's overreact so much to college, what happened in college football. And they were like, sitting there saying like, this is just incredible. Barrett Salee gave Ohio State an A+. And I was like, did you watch the same game as I did? So I'm glad to have a little bit of, I feel like you just told me what I wanted to hear and I appreciate you for it. So,
I mean, it's definitely like they got a passing grade, but you know, it still wasn't an A+ would have been like a, you know, a 45-14 route. I think it was probably, it's a passing grade. Whatever you classify that as, whether it's a flat BAC, whatever. But yeah, it's definitely, I still think I wouldn't be surprised if they had a few close calls outside of the Michigan game again this year. It's going to be, I think they're just a fascinating team where I could see them slipping up once or twice. I think it makes me even more confident that Alabama is definitely the best team in college football though.
I mean, them and Georgia, they both look really impressive. So but you know, things change in college football. Always seems like we think we get a good handle a couple weeks in, and before you know it, I don't think you've been on this train, but certainly college football media at large at times has been. A couple weeks in, we no longer have North Carolina going to the college football playoff, right? But it seems like every year we forget those lessons as a media community at large. But anyway, thank you, Anthony. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
All right. And coming up next, we're going to bring in Clayton Safety from the Wolverine. We're just going to chop it up. I don't have any plan as to how that's going to go, but we're going to do it. So stay tuned for that. And we are back and doing it. And like I promised, we have a two guest day. We are bringing on the Wolverine Zone, my good friend Clayton Safey, here to the Locked On Wolverines podcast, just to chop it up. Why? Reasons. That's why. I don't have an agenda here. We don't have anything to promote. We don't have anything planned. We're just doing it, aren't we, Clayton?
We are. I mean, why not? I think I might have invited myself on, but yeah.
Well, I watched yours and said, when am I going to be on yours?
Oh, true.
Because I was in football junkie mode, and I've been that way really since the week before the season. I'm watching everyone's, not everyone's. There's one certain person who's, you know, videos on YouTube, you know, I'm not watching, I'm watching, and it's not anyone that's here locally in the market, but I'm, you know, I watched yours. I watched Steve Dace. I watched, I've been watching Josh Pate, from 24/7 Sports, my old home. I've just been eating everything up, but I've been watching you and Anthony. You're both my good friends. I love the work you guys do and the things that you say. So I was just like, when am I going to be on this? And you're like, well, when am I going to be on yours? And then it just kind of happened this way.
Yeah, for sure. And likewise, I appreciate it. Been watching the drip and listening to the podcast, obviously. Love the rankings of the nicknames on the team. So
that one's the drip. If you're wondering where you didn't hear that, if you're watching or listening to this, that one was from the drip, and we've got a special episode probably coming again tomorrow on the drip with Sarah. I'm asking her football questions, just basic football questions, because she's photographing the game with me. So I'm excited to do that. You'll get to meet her on Saturday, I'd imagine, in the post game, assuming she doesn't get too sleepy and bail, which I wouldn't be terribly surprised, but nonetheless,
it's going to be a late one for us. Yeah.
It is. And I'm already sleepy as it is. It's Wednesday, which is often our Friday, given our schedules here. But considering, like, you know, we start the week on Saturday and go through.
Yeah.
But so Clayton, I just got us some vindication from some conversations we had over the last couple of days, speaking to Anthony Treach about Ohio State. And he like us, not impressed with what he saw in week one, said that when he saw, like, watched those games, did his grading, all of that, he said Ohio State's beatable. So How do you feel about being vindicated there?
I feel pretty good. I mean, I still think Ohio State, like we talked about this off the air, obviously, like, I don't think it was an A+ win. Maybe it was a B+ or A- win, which is still fine. You played a top five opponent. I think Notre Dame's defense is probably better than I gave it credit for coming into the season, but Ohio State didn't, you know, totally light it up. I know they had, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba was banged up early. You know, the run game with, you know, it ended up being the backup running back who was a little bit better. So, I mean, they still pieced things together and did what they needed to do. I think they were trailing for more than they were leading. Is that right?
It was 10-7 at halftime. I believe they got the 3-0 lead. Notre Dame did. And then Ohio State got a touchdown. Notre Dame got a touchdown. I think that's how that went. I don't remember exactly, but they did hold the lead, it seemed, for the majority of the game.
Right. So the differentiator to me is now I'm the leader of the CJ Stroud fan club. I mean, I just think he's so good that he's going to make up throughout the rest of the season, you know, as they kind of get better in other areas too, for, you know, whatever other deficiencies they have. I mean, he can't do anything for that defense, but it looked better. I thought Notre Dame, probably not a great offense. I know people are now coming after Tommy Reese after that game too, but I don't know. I agree that Ohio State definitely looks beatable. They look human, which is kind of a good thing, because sometimes they don't, honestly. I mean, sometimes you watch Ohio State play, even the week before they played Michigan last year, they didn't look human. And we were like, man, you know, I still thought Michigan had a chance to win that game, obviously, but it was still like, okay, I mean, this is going to be really, really tough. It was, but, you know, they are beatable. I agree with that. I still think they're going to be really good and probably undefeated heading into that last game of the season.
3-9 season for Ohio State. You heard it from Clayton Safey.
Yeah.
Michigan fans rejoice at that. Ohio State fans watching on YouTube, because for some reason you do that. You know, you can find him at C Safey on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Let's talk about Michigan, of course. So quarterback situation. I'm just curious as to your take on what the situation is as of now. I've put forth my opinion, which honestly was a changed opinion this week, not to be too reactionary, but I have been saying that it was a catastrophic start for Cade McNamara. That's the word that I've been using, and I'm sticking with it. What is your take on kind of where this quarterback competition is?
So I saw that you said catastrophic. I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I respect obviously the take. I think that it's amazing what 1 week has done. Like, I thought coming into this that probably Cade McNamara would be your starter for at least the first 4 or 5 games. That takes you through Iowa. Then you figure out what happens there, that they would both play. Now it feels like to me that it's not JJ McCarthy's job to lose on Saturday night, because, you know, I think that would be a bit of a stretch and probably reactionary, as you said. But I feel like he's probably the favorite at this point. And it sounds crazy to say, because you kept hearing about how Cade McNamara was the most improved player on the team, all that sorts of stuff coming out of camp. He felt like he was ahead. And then here was JJ McCarthy, who wasn't healthy until the end of summer, and the rise that he's made to even get himself in position to do this, like to start a game 2. He only had 11 snaps last week. We have to keep that in mind. I mean, he looked really good, and I thought he looked loose, more comfortable. The game slowed down for him compared to last season. But maybe we're overreacting a little bit to Cade McNamara's performance. He did have a couple good passes. It was Colorado State. They didn't air the ball out. Neither guy threw really downfield much at all. So I think we see what happens Saturday. We're not going to learn a ton from that either, because Hawaii's, you know, one of the worst teams in the FBS. But I think, you know, if both guys play well, it's going to be a really tough decision for Jim Harbaugh. And if it's JJ who gets more run and still looks like he did last week, I'd probably bet on him starting game 3, which I didn't expect to say a week ago or a couple weeks ago. So
yeah, that's where I'm at. I still think it's catastrophic, but it doesn't mean that for Cade, that's it for his job, but he needs, right. He essentially needs JJ just to look okay.
Yeah. And here's the thing too, like, even if JJ starts game 3, I still think we could see Cade for a drive or two here or there. Like, he's not going to mix in for 1 or 2 plays like JJ to kind of give that run game element. We all know that, you know, mixing him in isn't as advantageous as mixing in JJ McCarthy, because he doesn't have the run game element. But I think we can still see him get some work in some of those games the next few weeks. And then if JJ struggles at any point, or if Cade ends up being the guy that plays better, I think he could start some games down the road too. This thing's not ending in the next couple of weeks, even if they do decide a game 3 starter, which I guess you have to, because someone has to take the first snap, unless Jim Harbaugh goes with another unconventional, way of doing things and puts both guys on the field at the same time. But, I mean, I don't think this thing's going to be over either. I think Cade McNamara, I would never count him out from anything at this point, especially a job that he has once held and still technically kind of does hold, you know.
Well, I say that there likely is going to be an official 100% secured in stone starter by Iowa, because that's going to be the toughest defense that Michigan probably plays all year. You need to be kind of go into that game having a good plan. I mean, like you said, anything can change. Before we let you go here, what's the thing that you think, coming out of week 1, what surprised you the most? And I know that's really putting you on the spot, but it's my show. I'll do what I want.
That's fair. You are the host. One thing on offense was probably, I mean, the offensive line was a little bit banged up. Obviously they didn't have Ryan Hayes, and sounds like he'll be back on Saturday, according to Jim Harbaugh on his radio show. So that's good. And then obviously Carson Barnhart got hurt in, I believe, the second quarter. So they weren't playing at full strength, but I thought they allowed a little more pressure than I thought they would. Colorado State's defensive line isn't bad actually for a Mountain West defensive line. If you look at it, they got some transfers in there that have done good things, including a guy from Rutgers. So, but I thought it was a little, too much penetration probably. And then on the defensive side, in a good way, I got surprised by the defensive front. I mean, guys were rotating in left and right. You saw Iabi Anoma get a, sack on his first snap. You saw Braden McGregor in there, thought he could have finished better on a couple of plays, but, pressure was coming from everywhere. They blitzed a lot, which was surprising to me because I didn't expect them to show a ton maybe in that first game. But I mean, as Jim Harbaugh said, 7 sacks and he's kind of counting at 8. And I don't know how it's not 8 because Mike Morris's strip sack, when it wasn't a, I don't know how that's not counted as a sack, but they had 1 sack in the opener last year. And it's crazy to think back, but actually the sack numbers for Michigan, if you look at sacks per game, they were around 50th in the country last year. So they're probably going to be better than that this season. And I said that even coming into the year, but now with one game with, 7 sacks under their belt, and 2 with just the amount of guys they can throw out there and pressure the quarterback, I think they'll be just fine in that area. So I was surprised in a good way by that. And then the speed of the defense, the tackling by the secondary, I thought was good too. So a couple of things that surprised me, I guess, but it went kind of according to plan. I guess the other things that surprised me was Cade and just how tight he looked. But, we kind of already plowed that ground thoroughly, as Jim Harbaugh would say.
Well, that's all we got. Except for, I do want to give a shout out again to Iabi Anoma for what he, Burger King enthusiast. Yeah. Which, as I told you, when I saw Iabi when I was standing outside of Schembechler Hall before our press conference today, you know all about this, and reminded him of our interview in 2017. And he's like, I remember that. And he's like, I still love Burger King. I need to find the Burger King here. I still love it. That dude loves him some Whoppers.
He's been here almost a month and he hasn't gone to Burger King yet, though. I mean, does he really love Burger King? Because there's a Burger King by where we live.
I know it's, I feel like this is put on. If he really loved it, he would have sought one out much earlier. I know it's heartbreaking that there isn't one on East University or whatever street that was, but true, by East Quad anymore, when there was a Burger King. No, the Burger King actually, I think, was on South U, now that I think about it. I don't remember. This was forever ago, but there was a Taco Bell on East University. There used to be a lot more for all the complaining about the 7-Elevens and such that have made their way to campus. There used to be a Burger King and a Taco Bell and all kinds of other chains right there on campus, but those are gone. So anyway, Clayton, thank you for joining. We'll have to do it again sometime. I'll give you more than just the one segment here and we'll just go to town.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
So you can find him over at the Wolverine. They still have a $1 for a year promotion. Yep. I took advantage of that. I am on that board. I occasionally comment on that board.
How about this? Hold on. People in the comments, if you're watching on YouTube or whatever, leave a 5-star review and comment. Try to guess Isaiah's username on our message board over there. Because I know it, but I'm not going to release it.
And usually I'm almost never talking about anything Michigan related. But I do make things relatively obvious. If you are someone who watches or listens to this show and go on there, I'm just waiting for the moment that someone's like, I know who you are, but
then you're going to have to just, spend another dollar and get a new burner.
Exactly. All right, Clayton, thanks for joining. Really do appreciate it. But that's going to do it for us today. Thank you for watching and or listening. We'll be back with the Michigan Mailbag on Thursday. You can get your questions in on Twitter. As always, it is posed. It is up. Go there and do that. But thank you for watching and or listening. We will talk to you again soon. Peace.